right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Singing.
I don't want to come back singing.
Well, we go away on vacation and now you don't sing?
I don't want to diminish the great Roger Daltrey by trying to sing his songs.
By destroying his songs? By taking his talent and smushing it?
You say potato, I say go fuck yourself.
Yeah, well, there's an original one. So how's everybody doing?
Good.
We're back. Woo! After a hiatus.
We are.
Of 2 weeks?
Yes.
3 weeks, yes, maybe?
Two-ish?
Two and change weeks?
Well, one thing we can be sure of, and that is this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's
episode
correct.
Episode 170.
Right.
Not really a milestone in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all.
In five more, though, we could have a special one. Episode 175.
Yes.
Be gay, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We'd rather just celebrate the four-year when we get there and whenever.
That's got to be soon, too.
April, March,
is
depending
it?
On how many episodes
what
we
comes
punch
first?
In there.
What
no,
comes
no.
first?
Actually,
200 come first? Or
no,
that
no.
Come
March
first?
March will be the four-year if we go by date.
So. Oh, okay. We'll do that.
So, yeah.
We're going to have a party?
Sure.
That's the rumor.
That is the rumor.
It's a really heavy rumor at this point.
We've had a couple of those in the past. We're good at that.
Right. So it's episode 170, as we said. We're calling it Rats and Rock Gods.
Right. That should explain our absence in a nutshell.
Yep.
We'll leave it at that for now. No, you could say. We could say one.
What? You were in Disney.
I was in Disney for a week.
For a week. And then last week, I believe it was either Monday or Tuesday of the week, I realized that I had Roger Daltrey.
Right.
Tickets for the day that we normally tape.
Right.
So I had to bail, and so we bailed on the second week. And we didn't announce that going ahead because I just didn't even put two and two together and figure that out. Thank God I remembered I had the tickets. And I did get to meet Roger Daltrey.
That's very nice.
And, if you're listening to us on your iPod or on iTunes or QuickTime, you can see some of the images like the one of me and Roger Daltrey come up on those devices or those programs as you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Otherwise, you can go over to the website, BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, and you can check out the image gallery for episode 170, and you can see some of the related images of things we're going to be talking about over there.
So you met Roger Daltrey.
I did.
And I hung out with some, you know, friends and fans in Florida, so it was a good time.
Yeah?
Yeah, Royce and Marie from Hippo Juice.
Oh, Marie.
Ken from, you know, Pervert Ken.
And he doesn't like Fleck. That moniker. Either.
I know. So we don't call him that anymore.
Sure,
he's
we do.
Ken
Pervert
from Fleck.
Ken.
He was down there.
Pervert
and then,
Fleck.
Another fan of ours, longtime fan, Niggity, another guy. He's called into the show before, I believe,
that's
left voicemails. But he was down there also. So
in the line with that nickname.
It was a good time.
That's good. Yes, I did. I did meet Roger Daltrey. That's true. I did get him to sign the greatest rock album ever, Who's Next. And I also used Liz to get another item signed, one of his solo albums.
Of course you did.
And he also signed a couple of other little things for us, and we took pictures. It was just a grand old time. And then, of course, we got to see the entire concert. And what did you, what exciting things happened to you in Florida?
I got to hang out with some
drink
people.
I
drank.
Get up, fall down, drink.
You know, I went to all the parks. I visited the mouse, spent Halloween down there, picked up some toys and product that we're talking about in segment two.
Is it true you were Hagrid?
Yeah. We did Harry Potter for Halloween this year. That was fun too, and it was a good time. So we have some product. We'll talk about that in segment two, though.
Okay.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
This one is just stupid and funny, and I thought it would get us rolling down the anger train, because we can only be happy for so long. We gotta, like, you know,
the anger train.
We gotta get bitter and nasty at some point. So we could talk about the Yogi Bear movie.
Jesus,
because you know
he's smarter than the average bear.
It's gonna have such great talent in it as Dan Aykroyd and Justin Timberlake, I hear.
Now, is this going to be
Anna Faris?
Is this going to be a combo live action animated
feature?
Yeah,
it's going to be a la The Chipmunks.
So Yogi's going to be like 3D?
Yes. That's Yogi, Boo Boo, I guess, are going to be 3D.
I see.
And then, you know, what was the Ranger? Ranger Smith?
I don't know what the Ranger's name was. I think it is.
Whatever the hell the name of the Ranger was, I guess he'll be live action. So.
Will he be played by Will Ferrell?
No, but that would be funny.
But that would be appropriate. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Micronauts.
Doo-doo-doo.
Another possible movie based on a toy line.
Okay, so we're talking about the Micronauts that are based on the toy line, not the Marvel comic, which shared a name but not a universe.
That is correct.
Okay, I want to be very clear about that, because I personally think the Micronauts comic book was tremendously good.
That being said, you're also a really big fan of the toy line.
I am a fan of the toy line. I am not a huge fan of the toy line, but that was my era.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, in some respects, you know what? Micronauts were good for they were 3¾. They were the first fully posable action figures with many points of articulation. Yes, they had a ball jointed wrist.
That's right.
They had which also turned,
mm-hmm.
Like the whole piece turned, and then elbows, shoulders, neck was a ball joint also, waist.
They were happening for the time.
Thighs, man. Knees, ankles, kinda, ankles, maybe not.
No rubber bands in the center.
Yeah, rubber bands.
Oh, they did have rubber bands.
Yeah,
I thought they were one of the first ones to start getting away from that.
I don't know. I thought they did, but I could be wrong about that. And then of course they had a bunch that were, in the later years, they had a bunch that were magnets, where they magneted. They used magnets.
Yes, I remember that.
It was Baron Karza.
Yep.
Was the black one that everybody wanted. Baron Karza and his horse, which I can't remember now. And then there was a white version of Baron Karza, who I suppose was the good guy.
Carza was a badass-looking character, too.
He was.
I liked the design on him.
Yeah, it was. But everything was Vader influence then. So there's so much Vader influence in Baron Carza, it's kind of really obvious. And one of the things I liked best is one of the last Micronauts release. It was kind of a... I want to say it was... I hope I'm remembering this right, that it was Micronauts. I'm pretty sure it was. It was some sort of city, something or other thing, and it had these...
So it was a playset?
It was a playset. It had like air-powered elevators or mover or some sort of movement thing where it was moved by air. It was really, really terrific stuff. So what about, there's a movie, you say?
Yeah, apparently J.J. Abrams,
ooh,
of Star Trek fame.
Teflon J.J. Yeah, Abrams?
Is the one that was possibly interested in it. Now, this is like in the way, way early, maybe debunked, any second now stages of talk, but you know, I thought it was interesting. We talk about how a lot of Hasbro product here. Micronauts certainly an important line in the 80s. So.
I think it kind of smacks of maybe he really liked it when he was a kid.
Sure.
So therefore, now that he has opportunity, he's going to make something of it. I should point out the last time we heard something like this, it was that loser Bryan Singer talking about a reimagination of. Logan's Run,
right? Which I think is dead.
Oh, it is dead.
It's long dead.
Oh,
right?
Oh yeah, after Superman.
Yeah, quite dead.
Not much left alive. But for old Brian,
I really kind of want JJ to just stick with the, you know, maybe stick with Trek for right now.
That
did you hear now. Rumors? I heard, was it today or yesterday? Khan is one of the rumors for the second film.
I heard that a few weeks ago, like a month or so ago.
I guess
maybe it's coming back up again, or it's been brought back up again in the last couple of days.
Totally plausible.
Sure.
If it's Space Seed done as a movie, this would be kind of the original episode that introduced Khan in the original series was called Space Seed, and the Enterprise on a routine mission found the ship, the Botany Bay,
right,
where Khan and the rest of his people were frozen, shot into space during the eugenics wars or after the eugenics wars. It's totally plausible that this new Kirk and timeline and everything else could easily have stumbled upon that.
Sure.
So it's entirely a plausible thing. But this is what I said after Trek came out, the direction that they needed to go in was to look at those original episodes and go, okay, what can we really blow up?
Right.
One or two at a time, which I figured was to take, you know, two different storylines and of those episodes and combine them into one terrific movie. Well, if the rumors are true, it looks like Space Seed is at least one of those.
Sure.
And he's going to try to establish a new Khan. Now the question is, who would play
Khan?
Who the fuck is going to play Khan?
Yeah,
a real toughie, because you're talking, he has been voted clearly the Star Trek villain, like the worst one of all time, or best one? Is a villain a best?
Yeah, I think it's
best
the
villain.
Well, I guess you could say worst or
he was
best,
the villain that
best,
people
yeah.
liked the most.
Right.
There you go.
Most badass is Zuri.
Yeah. And of course, you couldn't have that without the great Ricardo Montalban's performance in either Space Seed or The Wrath
of Khan. Who
passed
away earlier this year,
yes,
right?
Rest
he did.
In peace, Ricardo.
So now that is the question. The question is going to be who does it?
So while that has not been debunked, what has been debunked is the Rachel McAdams, Felicia Hardy, Black Cat rumors, apparently.
Well,
This is a positive and a negative.
I just see it as a negative because she would have been perfect in that role.
Yes, I agree. If they were going to go the Black Cat route, then she is perfect in that role. The positive is, do they really need to go the Black Cat route?
But who? This is my question. The question of the day is it's what we all want to know. It's who the villain's going to be in the
Lizard.
Movie.
Lizard.
Of course, Lizard should be the villain in the movie.
Okay.
At least one of them.
So why not go that route finally? You've been teasing us. You've been teasing us for three movies
right.
now. Just do it. Make
but
the
you
lead.
Could have Lizard and Black Cat.
No. See, but haven't we learned by now that when you start adding too many villains into the villain pot?
Too many villains is one thing. too many villains.
Okay, so last movie we had three. Mm-hmm. So we'll pare it down to two and hope two works.
So what are you saying? The Batman movies have not worked?
No, but the Batman movies have been a little bit different. They've been like
they've been good.
Well,
no,
that.
Well, like
Spider-Man 1 and 2 were good.
Yes, they were.
The second movie, The Dark Knight, only had a very a little bit of Scarecrow mixed in there.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then Harvey Dent was kind of a villain, but not really. He was kind of like a tragic hero, sort of almost.
Look, you know what? As sprinkling as it may be, there were three fucking villains in that
so
movie.
So then if you're going to go the Black Cat route and you're going to keep her as a secondary villain and then make the Lizard the primary villain, then that's okay. But then Rachel McAdams should play the role.
Right. We'll see. But it's the question on everybody's mind. We all know these movies are coming out, but none of us know who the villains are going
to be.
I mean, more or less. I mean, we know Loki is going to be the villain in Thor. We know what the Nazis are going to be the villain in the Cap movie.
Yeah, maybe.
They better be the fucking villain in the Cap movie.
They'll have to update and make them terrorists.
Ugh. No, they won't.
No, it's I know.
God,
I
know. Better not. And then everyone wants to know what character Johnny Depp is going to play in the new Batman movie. And you know, that's what everybody wants to know, and rightfully so.
No, actually, what everybody wants to know is what's the next board game, being made into a movie. That's what everybody really wants to know.
I mean, after the earth-shattering announcement that Monopoly, the video
movie. Well, we have a Monopoly update tonight.
Oh, an update, not just an update?
We have an update tonight.
Oh, my God.
But first, we have to say that Columbia Pictures is interested in Risk. Nothing?
Nope.
I don't got nothing either. It's just throwing it out there. All right, the Monopoly update.
Okay.
Ridley Scott is interested in directing the piece. Based on a script written by Frank Bedore.
Better. Okay.
Yes.
We know
now you
Frank.
Know who he is.
Yes, we know
because he did The Looking Glass Wars.
Through the Looking Glass. Right. Yeah, The Looking Glass Wars.
He did that series
Hatter
of books.
M.
Right.
Right.
So in an interview with him, he's talking about what he wants to put in his script. And we were all joking, like, what is it going to be? A guy ends up in Monopoly? It's a down the rabbit hole story.
Oh, boy.
That's his script. It's like this, you know, this Wall Street investor, you know, who's like top of his game on everything. Something dumb happens and he ends up in Monopoly land. That's like the concept of this. It's a down the rabbit hole story. I don't know what else to say. I mean, maybe that would work because it could be kind of funny and lighthearted and poke fun at itself.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's better than them attempting to.
But it's Ridley Scott.
I don't know what to say about.
I defy you to name a funny Ridley Scott movie.
Blade Runner was hilarious.
Which one?
Blade Runner was hilarious.
Oh yeah,
all
right.
That was all eight versions of it.
I laughed
each time.
I laughed in every version.
It's just. So there you go.
I did have quite a chuckle at Gladiator too. So just saying.
Sly Stallone has provided us with an update on our Rambo versus the Genetic Monster movie.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to be a genetic monster anymore.
Dun, dun, dun.
But he just said that idea has kind of been changed and altered, and another character that was already in the script is now going to be taking the role of the bad guy, but he's not going to be like this genetically mutated. Who cares?
Yo, we were going to do the monster, but then we decided not to do the monster no more.
That's pretty good.
That was good. I'm impressed by that.
Thank you. You get credit.
I was putting a little Rocky Balboa in it. Just saying.
Yes, I noticed.
Okay. Just saying.
All right, Thor. Because there's always got to be Thor news.
Sure.
Thor is going to happen. Whether you want it to happen or not,
mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
They're casting still.
Uh-huh.
More casting.
No movie has ever been cast and then not made. That has never happened in the history of film.
Anthony Hopkins.
Uh-huh.
Odin.
Kenneth Branagh playing the friend card at every turn.
Hey, what? Hopkins has done some geeky stuff. He did Beowulf.
Yeah, I know. He did Silence of the Lambs.
That's not geeky, but...
Oh, wow. Well, I think it's
another laugh riot.
another comedy.
Another hoot a minute. So apparently Anthony Hopkins has been cast as Odin in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then just recently... Stuart Townsend, Ray Stevenson, and Tanobu Asano have been cast to play a trio of Asgardian adventurers who fight alongside Thor, called the Warriors Three. Now, I'm not familiar
with
Thor overall, so I don't know if the Warriors Three is
The Warriors Three. But Stuart Townsend, we know from, well, many things, not the least of which is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Right.
Where he played Dorian Gray.
And almost Aragorn.
Yes. And also, what you call it? The Anne Rice vampire movie. Not Lestat. The Queen.
Oh, Queen of the Damned.
Queen of the Damned. Queen of the Damned. And who is the middle one?
Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson, recently Punisher. War Zone?
War Zone, yeah.
Yeah. And also the TV series Rome.
Right. He was, Titus Pulo, right, in Rome?
Yeah, he was, one of them. One of those dudes. And who was, Kevin McKidd was the other one. Who was the third in the Warriors 3?
Tadanobu Asano. Is
Mr. Echo
in Nothing You Would Know.
I don't know. I know a lot.
It's all Asian films.
Oh, boy.
Is he Asian?
He was in Zatoichi in 2003, if you've seen that.
The Blind Swordsman?
Yes. He was in Mongol in 2007. That
I
was
did
a miniseries,
see that.
Right?
Great
or that was that
great
movie.
Flip.
Yeah,
that I did see. Yeah,
he was Temujin in that. So nothing.
Okay, so he's Asian,
right? So
okay,
there you go.
Two guys we know and a mysterious Asian.
So more casting going on in Thor because it's actually going to happen, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No,
really, kind of like the way Dollhouse is going to happen.
No, that was canceled.
Oh. Snap, where's my canceled. Buck?
I don't owe you a buck. There was never a bet.
There was a bet. Do we got to find the tape?
I don't think there was a bet.
I said
I knew it was going to get canceled eventually.
I said it wouldn't make the season without being canceled.
Oh, but they're finishing the season though.
Oh, but sir, it's been canceled during the season.
I said
wouldn't finish the season without being canceled.
Well, we should say, since we brought this up, they are going to air the remainder of the season. It's going to be two episodes a week. In December, and then I think a couple in the new year, and that'll wrap it up.
And are they going to actually end the story?
Whedon had actually wrote in a potential ending in that final episode, knowing well
he had an emergency ending.
Well, he did it at the end of episode one, season one, also.
Well,
so
he knew
he's on Fox. He knew.
It's his own dumb fault. Well, here's hoping he gets the Terminator franchise then.
Well, I heard about that. There's been some rumors, though, that that there are already talks and in the works for Dr. Horrible sequel, so that's probably in the pipeline also. Plus, I think, what's a horror movie he was working on? Red Cabin in the Woods, Red Cabin something with a cabin. I think that's still moving forward.
I don't know.
Also,
You're not Red State. That's Kevin Smith.
No, that's Kevin Smith. I want to say it's Cabin in the Woods, maybe? I don't know. But anyway, so he's got other stuff on the burner.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods. That's it.
Just getting by. Just throwing stuff up there and seeing what sticks. And none of it.
Have you watched V?
Yes, I have.
I haven't watched the newest one yet, but what do you think so far of what you've seen?
I think it's very impressive for a mainstream science fiction television show.
I agree. I think it's actually really good. It's kind of sad that it's not doing well in the ratings.
Mm.
But have you watched it? Or
does that mean we're only going to get the four?
We're getting the first four now.
I've seen the first two. I haven't seen the third.
Seen the third one yet either. We're getting the first four now, and then they're going to take a break for however long.
The Winter Olympics.
And then it comes back and wraps up. They are going to air all of them, but...
That might be it.
Wow. I hear, though, that if it does well, they're considering picking it up and making it into a series, but we'll have to see what happens first.
What's too bad is this should have been the next flagship series for sci-fi.
It should have been.
This belongs on the Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah. It does not belong on ABC.
No, you know what, though? But it's not bad on ABC. I think it's okay on ABC.
That's not the point. The point is it has no legs. If it's not a stellar hit, it has no legs at ABC.
Right, because ABC needs... I was looking at the statistics. ABC needs almost double the viewership to the Sci-Fi Channel to be a sustainable show.
Right. And if you look at the statistics about even the first series, the first season, rather, of Battlestar Galactica on Sci-Fi, it was not good.
Right.
However, that turned out to be one of the best shows Sci-Fi ever had.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. It's got no legs because ABC has no faith in those sort of products. They got to have everything or nothing at all.
I feel like they're not going to give it enough balls as a sci-fi show.
Well, they're not going to give it enough time.
Well, people are complaining already about the terrorist storyline and... You know, it's gonna fall victim to a bunch of political correctness.
Why would they update it?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Why would they try to come up with a plausible, reasonable way to make it work now? Why? I mean, it's silly. Oh, and this is a spoiler alert. So can we play it?
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
Can we please stop stabbing Alan Tudyk in the chest?
Yeah, he's not doing
Can we just once? No? Why do we have to impale him? Oh, and in the first episode.
You didn't see the third one yet, huh?
No, I haven't seen it. No, oh. I know he's back, but...
Well,
is he? Oh, I don't know.
Is he? Is
it was in the preview.
Did you guys see last night's or Tuesday?
No. I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, then I won't spoil it for you guys.
But yeah, can we stop stabbing him in the chest?
Sure.
Thanks.
Speaking about that movie that was based on that TV show that
Shut up. I'll kill you.
What movie? What movie? What TV show?
There's a movie called Serenity based on TV show.
That's right.
What TV show
is that? Lightning Bug.
What was there was a Lightning Bug TV show? That was a movie, wasn't it?
I don't know, was it?
I don't remember.
I think it's another kind of flying thing that makes light.
Glowworm?
Glowworms don't fly. You're just not getting out of it.
I ain't saying it. You could sit here all night, make the listeners pay. You could torture them.
Fine. Let's take our first break. And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 170, Rats and Rock Gods.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I'm just about squeezing the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, this is Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking mouth. Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 170. Is it Rat to Rock
Rats
Legend?
And Rock Gods.
Oh, yeah.
Gods.
Rats and Rock Gods. Legends, Gods. It's like close.
You know, we're really being selfish. You know,
we're
We called it Rats and Rock Gods, and you were at Disney, and I was meeting Roger Daltrey, and we were having all these adventures. But we didn't ask Just Mike what he did while we were off the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Just Mike Minute.
You know, it's funny because all I heard about was how great Matt was having at Disney, and you were meeting John Lennon, whoever the hell you met, over at the Montclair Theater, and I was really sitting at home with my thumb up my ass, playing video games and watching TV and movies, because you know why? Because I'm a piece of shit. Because I can't have, you know, a nice little vacation. No, 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 no. I have to stay home and watch V and play Demon's Soul and Borderlands because I'm a piece of shit. And I had to take advantage of the Best Buy deal, which is, by the way, fantastic. Oh, and by the way, I also bought Call of Duty World at War, so I had that to add to my nothing to do as I sat at home and just played video games and watched TV. But I will say this, I am planning on a vacation maybe in the next 5 years when I ever get an opportunity and get money, because I have no money and I can't meet John Lennon and Elvis or go to fucking Russia or wherever you went on vacation down in Florida. But I'd like to say hello to all the people you met down there. Nice people. Ken's good guy.
And that was the Just Mike Minute.
Okay. Wow. Okay, good.
Wow.
It's a little bitter.
A little bit. I mean, last time I didn't pay attention. I went to the bathroom and I got a sandwich. I was like, I'm going to be respectful this time. I'm going to sit down. I want to hear what he has to say for a minute. You got issues, Mike.
Well, you know what? You're at water parks. If I want a water park, I got to take a shower. That's the closest thing I have to a water park.
He's got to slip around in the tub.
Wow, that conjures up awful imagery.
You don't want to see me in the shower.
No, I don't.
It's a horrible display of human death.
He meets rock gods on his rock band.
Boo. Yeah.
What?
Rock gods, rock legends, rats, and
nothing.
Not to digress too much, but on the topic of rock band, I bought rock band on Valentine's Day because I felt so bad for myself.
Nice.
And I strapped it in the passenger seat.
Ooh, way to bring us all down. Okay.
Geek stuff.
Comic news. Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Hey, comic books we want you to check out this week. And there are a few.
Anything lighthearted and fun?
Yes, so let's start right off with The Victorian Undead, number one.
I almost picked that up.
From Wildstorm. It is an exciting little book. It's a zombie tale, but set in Victorian times. You know, like the mysterious meteor hits the earth, except it's not modern times with guns and, well, I mean, you know, like machine guns and stuff. It's more the Victorian age. Got some terrific, can I just tell you, terrific art. I read it. It was really, really good. And hats off to Ian Eddington, who's the writer, and David Fabry, who
any
did
relation
the
to
artwork.
Glenn Fabry?
I don't think it's spelled the same.
Oh.
And, of course, from our friends over at Dark Horse Comics, this is the Dr. Horrible one-shot.
Nice. I picked that up myself.
Yes. And I actually picked it up as well. It's got a terrific story in it. Great art, if you like this sort of thing.
It's an origins piece.
Yes.
Really. It takes place before the sing-along blog, so, you know.
It does.
Penny's still in it.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's a good thing. In fact, I picked up the cover that had the most Felicia Day on it.
Of course you did.
Of the three different covers that there
were. I picked
were.
Up the Dr. Hammer.
Oh, you
or Captain
up
Hammer cover, rather, yeah.
And I also picked up this week Zorro, number 17, from Dynamite.
The Gay Blade?
Book. Not the Gay Blade, the George Hamilton movie from 1980. No, sir. The this is the continuing, ongoing adventures of Zorro from our friends over at Dynamite. This is really terrific, by the way. This book just gets better and better and better. So pick that up. If you haven't already, I think there's some trades out, OG, so you can hop on board.
Nice.
Not that you would. I also picked up Cowboy Ninja Viking, number 2.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Now, this book slightly...
Am I supposed to say something to that?
Slightly oversized, black and white, and one key color. This time it looks like it's a pinkish hue that they've used throughout. So it's interesting in that it's not... See, it's not color, but they've used one color for spotlight
highlight
things and different things. A really terrific book by A.J. Lieberman and Riley Rossimo. I should say.
Mike, did you get to read this one yet?
I didn't read it, but I bought it. I read the first one, and the second time, loved it.
Yeah, it's really, really a good book. You got to give it a shot. You got to give it a chance to work its magic. But once you do, it really, it takes you in, and it's a little, it's crazy, but it's good. A little oversized, too, we talked
about.
Yeah,
I noticed that, yeah.
And I think it works. I was forced to buy Adventure Comics number 4 this week.
Why?
Because that's how you get the Blue Ring.
Oh.
See, the Blackest Night tie-in books all this month, you get the plastic ring, and it depends on what book you buy, which color ring you get. So, of course, as we know, I'm a big fan of the Blue Lanterns, and the Blue Ring was given away this week if you bought this terrible Adventure Comics. Yes. Written by Spike TV's 2009 Scream Award winner Jeff Johns, best comic book writer. They're featuring that on the cover of this book.
I will tell you, I remember seeing that on Twitter.
You read this book, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Too bad you bought yours, because you could have my copy.
Well, then I wouldn't have a ring.
But that's true. I know that's why you bought yours, too. But there it is. So if you like Adventure Comics, I guess, check that out. Ugh, I hate being forced to
give it a look-see.
Yeah. Couple of trades to talk about. the long-awaited, at least by me, Alien Legion Omnibus Volume 1. Anyone? Alien Legion? Anyone?
That's all you, baby.
Over 300 pages of the great Alien Legion comics from the 1980s. This was a part of Marvel's Epic Comics line, which was their creator-owned line in the 80s. And it was created by Carl Potts and Alan Zelentes and Frank Sirocco and a whole bunch of people came on after that. And it was great. This is great space adventure stuff. It's one of my favorite comic books of all time. I'm not even exaggerating a little bit. I have every issue. I have every trade that's come before this. I have the poster hanging in my home. It's a terrific book. If you've never had the opportunity, here it is from Dark Horse. Alien Legion Omnibus Volume 1. Over 300 pages of Alien Legion. I wonder how many issues this accounts
for. Are collected in there?
I'm wondering. Here it is. It actually collects, this volume collects issues 1 through 11 of the Epic Comics series Alien Legion. So there it is. 11 issues. Wow.
Impressive.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you know that the omnibuses are just slightly smaller than the original. So it's still terrific. You can still enjoy all of the artwork and the absolutely terrific story. I hope they put every single thing in this omnibus form. That's the way Dark Horse has been doing these. So I'm very much looking forward to the rest of those. And finally, I got the hardcover version of Daredevil Noir.
Noir.
Yes, this condenses, or rather collects, Daredevil Noir 1 through 4, written by Alexander Irvine.
Right.
And illustrated by Tom Coker. So there it is. It's a pulpy style Daredevil story. I thought this one was really good. And we should say at this time, check it out. It's about $20. I should have said also Alien Legion going to run you about $25. Also very much worth it. What you should do here is check out all the noir titles, because I think they're creating a really interesting universe. And speaking of which, our long delayed review of Spider-Man Noir will be happening next week on Big Kev's Geek
Stuff.
Oh,
we were supposed to review that, weren't we?
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 171. Check it out for the complete review of Spider-Man Noir.
Oops.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
Moving right along.
Yeah, there's a lot of DVDs that came out while we were gone. OG, why don't you hit a few general ones that people should check out, and then let's talk specifically about these three.
G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Boo.
I was waiting for someone to say something. Clone Wars, the complete season 1.
Awesome.
Zorro, seasons 1 and 2, Walt Disney Treasures Collection.
That is the original live-action Zorro TV series from Disney. It starred Guy Williams.
And also, I think Annette Funicello was in there. I don't know for many. I know she did a couple for sure, but absolutely fantastic TV show. If you've never seen it before, you should pick it up.
Up on Blu-ray.
Yes, also from Disney. That was maybe the best movie I saw last year.
It was a good movie.
I mean, After a Dark Knight.
That's right.
Best 3D animated movie I saw last year.
Logan's Run on Blu-ray.
Yes. Speaking of Logan's Run.
And I think that was it.
That was it?
Yeah. I mean, there's one other one, but we're going to talk about it.
Oh, well, yeah.
In this week.
Right.
Pile,
actually, let's talk about the two this week. Of course, you want to check out J.J. Abrams' Star Trek.
Right.
I got the 3-disc digital copy special edition Blu-ray because I buy the Blu-ray now, even though I don't have a Blu-ray player.
Right.
Fight Club, the 10th anniversary edition on Blu-ray. I picked this up to replace my my not Blu-ray copy of Fight Club.
So we have to talk about this now.
Okay.
So apparently Fight Club came out on Blu-ray and people were putting it in and they thought maybe something was wrong with their disc because when you put it in and the menu screen loads up, it's not the Fight Club menu screen, at least right away. It's the Never Been Kissed menu screen with Drew Barrymore. And then that kind of fades out and the Fight Club menu screen comes in.
Really?
Explain.
They did it on purpose.
Okay.
Kind of in the vein of or the spirit of the whole
subversive
nature of
Fight
Club? The film.
Right.
So it was a gag that they built into the menu screen of the film, but It's Never Been Kissed is what they picked.
Oh, wow.
So when you pop it in, that's what you see first. And I guess if you're impatient and can't wait, like, because how long does a menu screen take before it changes? 5 seconds,
something
maybe?
Like that, yeah.
Maybe 10. I guess if you can't wait, some people freaked and thought that it was not what they had hoped for.
What was wrong with Never Been Kissed?
Science.
I'm not Josie Grossi anymore. Nobody.
Moving on.
Also, let's give it its due, shall we? The Ultimate Watchmen. It's the complete story, the ultimate cut. Watchmen
right.
Complete story. Now, I got the Blu-ray 4-disc limited edition.
Right.
What this includes is the movie.
Right.
With the Tales of the Black Freighter put back into it where it belongs.
Right.
It has new commentaries, and other things, but it's also the director's cut of the film.
And it also includes the motion comic. You should say that too.
I'm on disc one. Sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're just jumping right ahead.
I'm just, you know.
So that's what's on disc one. Disc two, special features, over 2 hours of bonus content. And also in there is Under the Hood. The biography of Hollis Mason, which they also released. Didn't they release that singly as well?
I don't know if
that's
that was
on the Tales
singly.
Of the Black
oh, that's
Freighter.
Oh, that's right. It's on
yeah,
Tales
oh,
of the Black
right,
Freighter.
That's right.
So Tales of the Black Freighter is already in there, and so is the other half of that disc, which is the Hollis Mason thing. Disc three is the entire Watchmen motion comic.
Right.
Is disc three, and disc four is
the
digital copy of the theatrical feature.
Now, two complaints here.
Okay.
A, why not cut in Tales from the Hood also?
From Under the Hood.
From Under the Hood. Tales from the Hood. Wasn't that the
Tales from the Hood is like
the Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, the
one
ghetto
of those movies,
one. Yeah.
Like the ghetto version. Why not cut that in there also?
Don't know.
Right, to make it a really complete thing. And I guess the mystery, magical, the squid actually exists versions of the film doesn't actually exist.
I guess not.
Okay. Because everybody was kind of waiting for this one, I think. To see if that still was going to happen, although most people believe
that
it wasn't. But
that was the rumor. No, didn't they have some effects guys who were working on the film that said they did a giant squid scene?
Yeah, I thought there was a couple of things.
Maybe
so.
There's another edition come down the line, sir.
Fuck hell.
Well, that would be pissy on Snyder for sure.
We do have a couple other releases that came out this week that I did want to mention quickly because
okay.
It is in our genre and just in general. Farscape, the complete series, out on DVD this week. Galaxy Quest available on Blu-ray this week. Bruno, if you're a fan of Borat and Sacha Baron Cohen. Leon, the Professional, out on Blu-ray this week.
Ooh.
Rome, the complete series. Sopranos, the complete series.
On Blu-ray?
No. Rome is Blu-ray.
Oh.
Sopranos, I don't see as a Blu-ray release, no. But it may have been.
No, it was not a Blu-ray release. Here's what they did, folks. They took the Sopranos box set they put out last year and condensed it down again. So it's thinner, smaller, with fewer discs, but it still covers the same material. So anybody who bought that box set last year, raise your hand. Yes, I know. And you've been fucked. So there it is.
Also, Chasing Amy out on Blu-ray this week, too, you know, in support of our
and
friend
Clerks.
Kevin Smith. Yes. So.
And Clerks. Sir.
And Clerks. So there you go.
And we should say also about the Sopranos release. You know why they didn't release it in Blu-ray?
Why?
Because starting either next week or the week after, they're releasing the seasons
in
Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
Mm. Dick move.
Yes, it is.
Dick move. Now, I'll buy Rome complete on Blu-ray because
right.
That show rocked. But, man, they're going to have a hard press for me to go to Blu-ray on The Sopranos anytime soon. Well, if they're going to release each season, I'm going to have a long wait anyway.
All
sir?
Right. So we haven't done this bit in a little bit, but for a while we were naming the random one porn movie that came out on DVD each week also. And as I'm scrolling through the titles, I can't help but mention on the cusp of New Moon coming out next week, Twilight, the first movie coming out last year, out on DVD this week in the porn category, Taint Light is out this week. So be sure to pick that up. That's Taint Light with your Edward and Bella mock cover out on disc this week.
Taint Light.
Wonderful.
Taint Light.
All right. Why don't you hit that button and we should move on to what's next.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Wow, how are we going to pick up after that? All right. Product this week.
You know, I'm trying to get us to places, you know, like where children go.
Hey, listen.
You know what I mean?
If you take a movie, a genre movie, what we consider a genre movie, and you make an adult version of that movie, it could potentially be worthy of mentioning.
I suppose.
All right. Product this week. What have you got over there?
I got this this new thing. It's not really that new, but I'm not sure if the companies are related. It's from D'Agostini, which I think is a British company.
Okay.
And they have, I think these are the same guys that are doing the Marvel and DC led figure magazines, which is essentially just a tiny magazine about the character, and then you get like a 3-inch lead figure. Have you seen these?
Mm-hmm. I have, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now they're doing it with Star Wars vehicles.
Oh, nice.
And, yes, and I picked up a bunch here. I picked up the AT-AT AT-RT Walker, which is the Walker from the Clone Wars. We know what the AT-AT is, of course. And then I picked up the 2-pack. It's a TIE Fighter and a Jedi Starfighter, or Interceptor, as it's really referred to. Which I think is really funny, considering that the Jedi Starfighter is the prelude of what becomes the TIE Fighter, which I think is a very funny 2-pack. They're small pieces. They're not really in scale, per se, but they're highly detailed, I think, metal miniatures. They come in a little display case, and they run you, I can't remember, like 15, 18 bucks,
wow.
Something like that. And they have a little, magazine with it. And inside the magazine, it highlights all sorts of different things associated with these particular vehicles. So, for example, in this one, you have a fold-out sort of blueprint of the TIE Fighter.
Oh, nice.
Information about these ships, how they filmed them, and all sorts of different things like that there. And, so there it is. They also have the fold-out of the Interceptor as well. Lots of beautiful imagery. And you get the great figure with it as well. What a great collection that's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
There it is. We'll talk more about these as more of them come out. But I picked up the first. Technically, it's 3, but it's actually 4 ships. So, there it is. And they're from D'Agostini, which I believe is a British company, but I'm not sure. I guess we'll have to wait and find out. What do you got, OG, from Florida?
Well, I was in the Disney World. I picked up a couple of things that I thought I should bring back to the show. Something we've talked about on the show before, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah?
Are the Star Wars Disney crossover
pieces,
figures.
Mm-hmm.
So series 3 is out now. And this includes, you know, famous Disney characters as Star Wars characters. So series 3 is Mickey as an X-Wing pilot.
Okay.
Which is a great piece. He's got the helmet on. The helmet is fully removable. He's got the little blaster.
Rebel
he's in
pilot.
The... Yeah.
That's great because that's the kind of thing, you know, if you had a collection of Rebel pilots, which they've put out a lot now, a lot of them, even all I think most of the named ones are out and they have a bunch of unnamed ones and evolution packs and things like that. You could easily stand that one amongst them. And have it be sort of a cute little addition to your collection.
Yeah, and he's got a handful of points of articulation. I think two or three. It's arms and head. And then there's Goofy as Chewbacca, Minnie as Slave Leia, Chip and Dale as Ewoks.
Where's Minnie as Slave Leia? Did you bring her?
Yeah, I have them all over.
Oh, there. Okay.
It's Minnie as Slave Leia, Chip and Dale as Ewoks, and they come with a little stormtrooper helmet. And then it's Donald as a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Fuck Donald as a stormtrooper.
Why? What's the problem, OG?
I was in 4 parks, 2 hotels, and 3 stores.
And
nobody has Donald as a stormtrooper. Apparently, he comes in and goes out. Now, this has been a problem with this line all along. Series 1, there was Stitch from Lilo and Stitch dressed as Emperor Palpatine was the figure. And that one was the same way. You couldn't get him. And then there was one in Series 2. I don't remember who it was in Series 2. It might have been Stitch again. I think it was Donald as Han Solo was Series 2. So now Donald as a stormtrooper, you can't get him. So anybody out there that lives in Florida or California, I'm looking for one.
We know a pair of people live in Florida.
And we know some people that live in California. So it all works out. I'm just saying.
I need a few of those.
So this is a great line. If you're a Disney fan, if you're a Star Wars fan, it's a neat little line. Stepping on the tails of Urban Vinyl, although the Urban Vinyl people will yell at you and say that this actually isn't vinyl and it's PVC and other complaints,
really?
Et cetera, is the Disney Vinylmation line.
Oh, yeah?
So there are 5 of these sets out so far.
Okay.
There's Park Series 1 and 2, Urban... Oh, no, maybe 3. Park Series 1 and 2, Urban Series 1, and then there's the Holiday Series.
Uh-huh.
The Park Series, pretty much each one is, you know, it's just a generic looking Mickey Mouse piece.
Okay.
But each one is painted to represent something. Like the Park Series is all stuff from the park. So there are rides, characters that are represented like from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, okay.
There's Mickey in a poncho.
So it's generically, it's the same figure, but they're painted to reflect different things.
Exactly.
Right.
And then there's also the Urban Series, which is just the same generic figure and just painted with some cool kind of interesting artwork. Like there's a Paint by Numbers one, which is really cool. There's a Patchwork one, a Universe one. And then the Holiday Series are like different holiday looking ones.
Let me see the Universe one. That may be the one that I like. Oh, he's kind of cool.
And then there are holiday ones. Like there's Mickey as a ghost, and then there's like a candy corn and... The bitch about these things is that they're blind boxed.
Oh.
So you don't really know what you're going to get.
Yep.
In a case, there are 2 full sets.
Right.
Plus 1 chase figure.
Uh-huh.
Plus a couple duplicates.
Okay.
Everything is supposed to be even. Like, there are no rares outside of the chase figure, which is 1 per case. There's not supposed to be any rares, commons. Except that while I was down there, I pulled... 5 of the same figure.
Wow.
Now, I've traded most of those out at this point.
Sure.
To other people, to Ken, who I was down there with, and stuff like that. I sold one online. But my problem is that if that's the case, right, if I pulled 5 of the same figure, then...
You are incredibly lucky.
Either I'm incredibly unlucky, or the pack out isn't as uneven as they say.
Were they fresh cases?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah. You could see how many boxes are in them.
Nope. But...
2 cases, I saw them open.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
So my thought is that in each case, you get 2 full sets. You get the 1 chase figure. And then there's 2 random extra figures in there. I'm thinking that the random extra figure is the same figure twice, but in every case. Because in my anger and frustration while I was down there opening up blind box toys and cursing loudly in Disney World, I decided to go to eBay on my phone and I put in Disney Vinylmation, and the first five pieces that came up were this one piece. So clearly that piece is common, but they're not labeling it as such. Right. I kind of have a problem with that. But it's kind of a neat, interesting line. It's a fun little line. You can collect and trade them. There are places that trade them online. So
why didn't you and Ken just go in on a case?
We thought about it. The problem is that there are a lot that I don't like the design on. Like, I really don't know that I want all of them.
Is there a Tron one?
There is not a Tron one.
Oh, good.
But there are blanks.
So you can make one.
You can make a Tron one. I'm sure someone will do it. But these are doing really well. They're selling very well. So the possibility of a Tron one is likely, especially with the movie coming out, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll probably grab a couple more of these, and I'll keep an eye on them. And, you know, maybe I'll report back from time to time if they're interesting.
What's the candy corn tin?
That is one of the holiday ones. It's just a black Mickey with a giant candy corn painted on its chest. And then the other one is
hysterical.
One of the other holiday ones.
Is that a tin box
that it comes in? It is. Yeah. These things retail at $9.95. The holiday exclusives are limited. They make less of them.
Right.
And they're $12.95. But you don't know the design of the figure necessarily until you open it up. So the...
Oh, that's so awesome!
So the Halloween one this year was a candy corn
Mickey.
So yeah.
So are you gonna be a completist on these now too? You said no because
I don't like a lot of the designs. Right. Like there are some that I really like. Like there's another park design one that's a penny press machine.
Uh huh.
We just look like in general I hate penny press machines, but yeah, I like the design on it.
Right.
So there's a couple more in the Urban series that I want to get.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to not have to buy them on eBay. Ideally, I'd like to be able to trade them out or something like that.
What about trading them with October Toys?
Well, I got to talk to them because I don't think they have that many or they're not that into them. So.
I see, because they're not vinyl.
No, I didn't. I don't think I heard either of them make the not vinyl compliment.
They're elitists about their vinyl toys.
Well, I guess it's I don't know. The technicality. Okay. I'm not as into the technical specifications of what is a vinyl toy versus PVC. I understand it after reading it, but to me, it's not as
meh.
It's not as important to me. If I like, the design on the piece, then that's why I'm buying the piece. So.
Okay, makes sense to me.
So there it is.
There it is. And with that, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 170. Rats and Rock Gods.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodle-lolly.
Yes. All shows are Saturday night at midnight. Uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, the king of cult films, live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, 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 this is Haywood Nelson, Dwayne from What's Happening.
And this is Danielle Spencer, D from What's Happening.
Hey, and this is Ernest Thomas, better known as Raj from What's Happening, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What the fuck is happening?
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
Thank you.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 170, Rats and Rock Gods.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Trying to cram 3 weeks' worth of news into 1 week's worth of episode was tough, but we talked about some garbage and some good stuff. The Yogi Bear movie, starting out with the garbage. Micronauts, Star Trek, and the possibility of Khan being in the second film.
Khan!
Rachel McAdams, sadly not going to be Black Cat, apparently. Risk and Monopoly, the board game, coming to you. Rambo not versus the genetic monster. More Thor casting. And V. We all pretty much like it thus far. And sad that it is not doing so well. In segment two of tonight's show, we talked about some comic books that came out this week. Kev, you want to rattle those off real quick, like?
I do. Adventure Comics number 4, which gets you the blue Green Lantern ring. Just kind of an odd thing to say. Cowboy Ninja Viking number 2 from Image. From Dynamite, it's Zorro 17. From Dark Horse, it's Dr. Horrible number 1. From Wildstorm, it's Victorian Undead number 1. And in trades this week, we want you to desperately want you to check out Alien Legion Omnibus Volume 1. And the very excellent Daredevil Noir. I got the hardcover collection of the 4-issue series.
In DVDs this week, also cramming some stuff in there, we had from prior weeks G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, Clone Wars, A Complete Series 1, Zorro the TV series from Disney Treasures, Seasons 1 and 2, Up, and Logan's Run.
As well as some stuff that came out this week, which included J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, Fight Club on Blu-ray, and the Ultimate Watchmen Complete Story Ultimate Cut thing, which is awesome to check out. And lastly tonight, we talked about some product. I talked about D'Agostini's Star Wars Official Starships and Vehicles Collection. It's a little tiny magazine and a metal ship in a container, in a display case, I should say. I talked about the AT-AT, TIE Fighter, Jedi Starfighter, or Interceptor, if you prefer, and the AT-RT Walker from Attack of the Clones. Great little series. I know they're going to continue.
Also talked about a couple of lines exclusive to Disney and the Disney parks. Talked about the Series 3 Disney Star Wars action figures. Oh, actually, I should also say we didn't talk about these, but now they have a Series 1 Disney Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, like,
line,
oh,
also.
Yeah?
Like, I think it's Stitch as Barbossa, Mickey as Jack.
Really?
I forget who as Will Turner, but they're out there also.
Goofy?
Yeah, Goofy might be Will Turner. I don't know. And we also talked about the Disney Vinylmation line. These are...
We are a part of the Vinyl Nation.
So you can check those out. Some of them are really cool. Some of them are kind of dumb. But overall, I do like the idea and I like the line. So there it is.
There it is. Bye.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have each and every episode. You can subscribe to us in iTunes. Hey, write us a review. No one's done that in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
We haven't plugged it in a while, so write us a review.
Go over to iTunes.
Rate our show.
Write us a review. Rate our show.
Subscribe to us.
Yeah.
You know, tell us how much you love us.
You that.
Don't forget, you can participate in all of the forums we have going on. We also have the t-shirts still for sale. No, the Flash Gordon is not still for sale.
Are we still getting people
still
asking
one,
about
we
that?
We still get one once in a while.
Damn.
There must be some active links floating around somewhere.
I don't know where. I thought we disabled all of them. Yeah, they're gone, folks. Look for Melody Anderson at a con near you. She'll have some.
You can follow the show online at BK Geek Stuff on Twitter. You can also follow Just Mike, Just Mike, BKGS at Twitter. I'm Geek Stuff OG on Twitter. And I think that's about it.
Wrong.
Don't forget to check out Geekerdome. And
yes.
Think that's it.
Nope.
Now, what did I miss?
New, brand new Live from Studio V segments.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're
going to
be
going to be filming those this week.
Real quick disclaimer on the Studio V segments. There are some older ones that have been rolling out. So for those of you asking about the Pez one that just rolled out.
Oh, did the Pez one roll
out?
Yeah,
the Pez one rolled out. Oh, is that new?
It.
Is that old? No, that it
if you haven't seen it before,
yeah,
it's new,
new
to
exactly.
you.
There
so, it
is. So there are some in the archives that are making the light
That's
of day.
All.
But we have some new stuff
That's
that
all.
We're recording
it's still funny.
Soon. So.
It's
yeah,
still
absolutely.
Funny.
That's right.
And we should say for you longtime fans of the show who remember Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the TV program.
Oh, yeah? Is that coming back?
Well, no, not in that form. There is a new form coming.
That is the rumor. We are trying to find a way to bring it back.
But coming back in these installments that we're taping this week for Live from Studio V.
Yeah.
Fan favorite.
Nice!
Big Rat returning to the program.
Triumphant return to the show!
And a surprise.
Woo!
A surprise person also returning.
Ooh,
during
those.
I'm not going to give you any hints. And no, it's not Just Mike, although Just Mike may make an appearance in the Studio V segments.
Wowie Kazowie.
Not who I'm talking about right
all
now.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And with that, Just Mike, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 170, Rats and Rock Gods?
Taint light.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-C.